Hare Krishna. So today morning we are discussing one of the sweetest sections from the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the prayers of the gopis to Krishna. The backstory is that the gopis left everything to come to Krishna when he called them by playing his flute. And then after passing the test, which he tried to dissuade them and send them back, they determinedly stayed on. And just as they were about to celebrate the divine dance of love with Krishna, as they were about to enter into the deep ecstasy, Krishna disappeared. In great agony, the gopis kept searching for Krishna everywhere, and they couldn't find him anywhere. And finally, realizing that Krishna had disappeared, they decided to come back to the banks of the Jamuna and there call out to Krishna. So these are the prayers which the gopis offer to Krishna, although Krishna is not present there in front of them. They know Krishna is hearing them. They are calling out, Krishna, please come back. And the acharyas explain that this gopya uchuhu. It is uvacha is the singular, uchuhu is plural. So gopya uchuhu means that the gopis are speaking this collectively. And does it mean that all of them are in a chorus reciting all these verses? No. Jiva Goswami explains in the Gopal Champu that each verse is actually recited by one gopi. But that gopi is speaking as a representative of all the gopis. So there is an individual devotion that is being expressed through her prayer. Along with that, there is a collective appeal that is resonated through each prayer. And based on the mood of each verse, Jiva Goswami actually identifies each gopi. This verse is sung by this gopi. This verse is sung by this gopi. And in that way, he goes quite deep into this. So the verses themselves, each of them has a distinct thought. But along with that is also a very intense common prayer. That prayer is, Krishna, please come back. Please appear before us. So through different directions, through different reasons, through different arguments, through different ways of appealing, the gopis are consistently telling Krishna, please come back, please come before us. So we will go over these prayers one by one to get a feel of the sweetness of these prayers. So this verse states, Jayati te dhikam janmana vraja. So it's saying that, Krishna, since you have appeared in this place of Vrindavan, Vrindavan has become even more glorious. It is already glorious, but jayati te adhikam. Even more it has become glorious. Janmana vraja. Since in the forest of Vrindavan, this vraja, you appeared. Why has it become so much glorious? Shrayata indira. Shashvadatrahi. Because you have appeared over here, therefore Indira, the goddess of fortune, has come and made Vrindavan her permanent residence. The goddess of fortune actually is considered to be Chanchala. She is restless. She doesn't stay at any one place for long. It's the same people who are wealthy in one generation may just become poor in another generation. And what to speak of generations? Nowadays, if one stock market crashes, people may just reduce to beggars in one day. So wealth does not stay at one place for long. But she stays at one place always. And that is by the side of her Lord. Lakshmi always stays by the side of Narayana. When Lakshmi comes to anyone else, she doesn't stay for long. So, the various goddesses are there. Generally, they are worshipped with their consort. Like we have Parvati and we have Durga. although they are the same, Parvati is worshipped with Shiva. But when she is worshipped separately, she is known as Kali. She is known as the destroyer. She is very fierce. She is very angry. The images of Kali are often with a garland of skulls around her neck, with a tongue coming out, blood all around her. So the idea is that the goddess, when she is with her Lord, she is very gentle in mind. But when she is alone, she becomes angry. And she can act as a ferocious protector, and she can act as a ferocious destroyer also. So similarly, Lakshmi, when she is worshipped with Narayan, then Lakshmi's blessings actually bring auspiciousness and happiness in our lives. But when Lakshmi is worshipped alone, then her Vama Swabhava, gentle mood, doesn't remain. And then sometimes she gives benedictions, and sometimes she takes away all the benedictions. And then plunged into great distress. So she is being said that, the gopis are saying that, Krishna, you, because you are the Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, because you have come here, therefore the Goddess of Fortune has come to reside over here permanently. And thus she had made this land glorious. But although this is the land where the Goddess of Fortune resides, we are experiencing extreme misfortune. How is that? Tvaidhrita savastvam vichinvate. O Krishna, we who live only for your sake, our life air stay in our body only for you, but we are without you now. So, Tvaidhrita savastvam vichinvate, saying that we search for you everywhere, but Daita drishyatam dikshutavakas. Therefore, O beloved Lord, please dikshu, please, I've searched in all directions, please come before our eyes. Please reveal yourselves to us. Daita drishyatam, please come before our eyes. So here, the gopis are offering this prayer with great philosophical understanding. They're saying, Krishna, you are the Lord of Goddess of Fortune. In this land, there is fortune permanently for everyone. And yet, how can we experience such misfortune? Please, this is unbecoming. We live only for you, and for you, for us to not have you with us, that is unbearable. And therefore, please come back. Please come back. Please appear before us. And then they go on, and each prayer is like this. So, Sharad Udashaye Sadhu Jat Sat Sarasi Jodara Shri Mushadrusha Surat Nath Te Shulk Dasika Vardanignato Neha Kim Vadha. So one aspect of this Gopi Gita is its exquisite poetic feature. Here we will see that in this verse, ja and ja, that sound comes in the first line. Jayati te dhikam janmana vraja ja ja shrayata indira shashvadatrahi shasha daita drishyatam dikshutavakas. The sound is there. Tvaidhrita savas tvam vichinvate. So, the sound is there. So, the gopis are great poets. They are described, it's described that they are exquisitely skilled in Shila Harda Leela Yacha Sayas Yatosti Nadhika Mahiyamatma Pada Padma Dasya Dasnu Radhika. In the Radhika Ashtakam, it is said that in all the exquisite skills that are required for pleasing her Lord, there is no one who is equal to Radharani. Shila Harda Leela Yacha Sa Yatosti Nadhika. So she is exquisitely beautiful. She is a superb cook. She is a great singer. She is a great dancer. She is perfect for Krishna. So the gopis are all great poets. And although there is great distress in their hearts, but still their devotion is being expressed through this exquisite poetic meter. And similarly, in the second verse also now, Sharad Udashaye Sadhu Jata Sat. So Shasha sound is coming. So what does this verse mean? This is also a prayer by the gopis to Krishna, please come back. And they say, Krishna, your eyes are so beautiful. They are like the most exquisitely formed lotus petals. Sarasi Jodara Shri Mushadrusha. Such is your eyes. Now when somebody is very beautiful, we actually think this person must be very nice, this person must be very loving. Beauty is an attractive feature which attracts us to people. And when we are attracted to them, we want to have loving reciprocations with them. Sometimes some people may have a very attractive look, but they may have a very deceptive heart. They may use their beauty to manipulate others. But Krishna is not like that. He says, Surat Nath Te. Krishna, you are not only very attractive and loving to look at, not only is your glance very loving, but your heart is also very loving. You are the God of love. Surat Nath Te. And they say, Krishna, we are your Ashulka Dasika. We are your unpaid maid servants. They don't think that we are the queens or the consorts of Krishna. They think we are just a maid servant, Dasika. And they are saying, Ashulka, without any payment. Now why the point of payment brings over here, is brought in over here? They are saying that, Krishna, we have come to you only out of love. Only out of love we have come to you. And you are the God of love. And when you are the God of love and we have come out to you out of love, how can you abandon us? Varada nignato neha kim vadha. You who are the giver of benedictions, how can you vadha? How can you kill us? If Krishna is the God of love and somebody comes to him with great love, then naturally Krishna should bless them. That is appropriate because he is the God of love and people are approaching him with love. But Varada, that is your normal disposition. You give love. But then how is it? Neha kim vadaha. How are you killing us? It's Krishna will say, how? I'm not killing you. He says, no. Krishna, for us, separation from you is a pain that is worse than death. Don't think it is just weapons that kill. The separation from you is such a great, great agony that can also kill. And that is hinted in the previous verse when they say that actually, Tvai Dhruta Asavas, that we live for you, our life air is maintained for you. And if you are not there, what is the point of our life? So again, the mood is, Krishna, please come back. Please appear before us. You are the God of love. We have come to you out of love. How can you abandon us now? How can you reject us? If you reject us, that will be devastating for us. We will die. And here, actually, the mood that is displayed by the gopis is very much the mood of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, of which we are a part, it focuses on love in separation. That when Krishna is not present, we long for his presence. And we beg to him to feel his presence, to appear before us. So in that sense, these verses are embodying in the Bhagavatam the mood that the acharyas in our tradition have later spoken in their compositions. And then the gopis go and say, now this is, you remember, each of these is being spoken by one gopi. So each gopi is reiterating the appeal, Krishna, come back, from different directions. So the previous verse said that, Krishna, you, how can you kill us? And separation from you is killing us. And they say, killing us is unreasonable for another reason. Why is that? They describe the third text now. Vishajalapyayad व्याल राक्षसाद वर्ष मारुताद वैद्युतानलाद ऋषमयात्मजाद विश्वतो भयाद ऋषभ देवयम् रक्षितामुहु. So the gopis say, in the past you have protected us from so many dangers, you have saved our lives from so many demons, and if you have protected us earlier, then how can you kill us now? So therefore, please protect our life, please come back. And they describe here different pastimes, different occasions when Krishna has protected them. Vishajalapyayad, they are the poisoned waters, that refers to the serpent Kalia. Kalia had put not only Krishna in danger, but the waters around it were so poisonous that anyone who went in the vicinity would also die. So you saved us from the poisoned waters created by Kalia. Vyalarakshasad. Vyalarakshasad refers to the demon who was in the form of a giant snake, a python who would swallow everyone. So he had swallowed all the gopas along with Krishna, along with all the gopas, and Krishna also entered, and Krishna saved all of them. So here, when the gopis are saying we, they are not just referring to they themselves alone. They are referring to all the Vrajavasis, of whom they are representatives. Vyala Rakshasad, Varsha Marutad, Vaidyuntanalat. Varsha Marutad. So rain, storm and thunderbolt. All these three endangered us when Indra became angry with us. At that time, all the Vrajavasis were in great danger. And Krishna, you protected us at that time. You lifted the Govardhan hill, and in a miraculous way, you gave us your darshan for 7 continuous days. So you protected us not only from the danger of death because of the storm and rain and thunderbolt, but you also gave us the supreme sweetness of your uninterrupted darshan. So you, O Lord, who benedicted us so many times, how can you kill us now? Vrishamayatmajad Vishvato Bhayat. Now Vrisha refers to the bull demon, that is Arishtasura. And Maya Atmajat refers to Maya, is Maya, the demon Maya. His son is Vyomasur. Now the Acharyas explain that these two demons, Vrisha and Maya, they have not yet come till now. They will come. This is chapter 31. And these demons, they are coming, will be described in later chapter 38, 39, 40, the later chapter that is described. So how is it that the gopis are mentioning these demons beforehand? This is, the gopis are not just ordinary cowherd girls. They are extraordinary devotees of Krishna. And they know the glory of Krishna. They know the divinity of Krishna. And thus, they are able to know that Krishna is going to perform these pastimes in future. And Krishna has protected us in the past. Krishna is going to protect us in future. So why is Krishna not protecting us now? Krishna, please protect us now. So they are in various ways appealing to Krishna by saying, Krishna, your behavior right now is very uncharacteristic of you. It is unbecoming of you. You who are the protector of your devotees in all three phases of time, past, present and future. So you have protected us in past, you will protect us in future. But how can you not protect us now? Oh Krishna, please come back. Please appear before us. And as they are pondering like this, they contemplate, oh, who is this? This Krishna is not who we think he is. That is the next verse. Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan akhila dehinam antaratmadrag vikhan sarthito vishvaguptaye sakhau dehivan satvatam kule. Nakhalu gopika Nandano Bhavan, you are certainly not the son of Gopika. They are females, so they are referring to Krishna in terms of his relationship with another female. That is Yashoda Mai. He says, you are not the son of Yashoda. We may think that we are Vrajavasis, you are Vrajavasis, you are just one of among us. But we understand that you are the Supreme Lord. Now you're certainly, Kallu means certainly, you're certainly not the son of Yashoda. Then who are you? Akhila Dehinam Antaratmadrak. You are the indwelling super soul in the hearts of all living beings. You, O Lord, are present in our hearts. You are present in the hearts of everyone. Now, what is the significance of this point? That you are the indwelling super soul in the hearts of everyone. That you are not an ordinary person. You are not just ordinary Gopa. The significance of that is stressed in the next two words. So, if you are the indwelling super soul, then how is it that you are manifesting here? Vikhanna Sarthito Vishwaguptaye. Vikhanas, that is referring to Brahmaji. Arthito, that when Brahmaji in distress, along with the devatas, prayed to you to descend to this world for the protection of the world. Vishwaguptaye. For protecting the whole world. Sakha Udehivan Satvatam Kule. At that time, you appeared in the Satvata dynasty. That means they understand that Krishna is the son of Vasudev who has appeared over there. And when he's appeared like this, this pastime of Krishna being appealed to by Brahmaji, that is described in the start of this canto, before Krishna's descent. So, now what is the context of this? At one level, the gopis are saying that Krishna, you are the Supreme Lord. But, there is a reiteration of their appeal. Krishna, you have come to protect the whole world. How come you are not protecting us? You have come to free the whole world from distress. And how can you put us in distress? How can you not? We are in such agony. We are on the verge of death. We are not being able to see you. How can you not fulfill your mission for us? If you have come to protect us, protect the world, please protect us also. Paritranaya sadhunam, Krishna says. He comes to deliver the saintly. So please deliver us. And then here, the significance of that address, Akhila Dehi Naam Antaratma Drag. You are the indwelling super soul in the hearts of everyone. What is the significance of that? Krishna, that means you are in our hearts and you know in how much distress we are. Sometimes we say, somebody may be in trouble and somebody else who is meant to help them may not know that they are in trouble. But Krishna said, that is not your case. You know we are in distress. You have come to this world to release the world from distress. And you know we are in distress. How can you not release us from this distress? Please, O Lord, fulfill your mission. Release us from the distress. Please come back. And in this verse, there is also a very sweet and revealing contrast that is seen. At one level, the gopis are saying, you are the super soul in the hearts of all living beings. You are the Lord whom even Brahma prayed to, so that you may descend to this world. And yet, the gopis are also referring to Krishna by the word Sakha. Sakha means, oh friend. Oh friend. Now, if he is this indwelling super soul, he is the Lord of all living beings, how can they refer to him as their friend? Actually, our acharyas describe that the Vrajavasis, for them, they have knowledge of Krishna's greatness. But that knowledge of Krishna's greatness is eclipsed by their absorption in Krishna's sweetness. God has these two aspects, his greatness and his sweetness. So, even in the daytime, the stars are there in the sky. But we can't see those stars because the sun is so bright. And when the sun's brightness decreases, when the sun sets, then you can see the stars. It is not that the stars are created at that time. So for the Vrajavasis, their love for Krishna, their absorption in the sweetness of Krishna, their wanting to serve Krishna in their particular relationship, that is like the sun. And their awareness of Krishna's divinity, of Krishna's supremacy, that awareness is like the stars. So it is there, but it is not in the foreground of their consciousness. You say stars are present in the sky, but they are not seen. Similarly, normally, the Vrajavasis don't act as if they know that Krishna is God. They act as if Krishna is just an ordinary, just one of, not ordinary, extraordinary, but just extraordinary, lovable cowherd boy among them. And if for the intensification of the flavor of their devotion, for the purpose of their service to Krishna, if the knowledge of Krishna's divinity is required, then they summon that knowledge. That knowledge appears in their consciousness. And then they use it for doing their service to Krishna. But otherwise, they don't depend on Krishna's divinity to love Him or to serve Him. So, the Vrajavasis don't love Krishna because He is God. They love Krishna because He is so lovable. And that He is God, this knowledge, they sometimes they remember when it will help them to serve Krishna. So, in this case, the Vrajavasis, their predominant flavor is, Krishna, you are my friend, you are our Sakha. Yeah, Sakha and Sakhi. Sakha refers to the friends who are males, Sakhi who are refers to friends who are females. So you are our male friend, you are the Sakha. And so that is the predominant mood of their relationship. But right now, they are not able to relate with Krishna as their Sakha, because Krishna is not there in front of them. And in order to bring intensity to their prayer to Krishna, Krishna, please come. They add the knowledge that Krishna is God, that Krishna, who is the Lord of everyone, who frees everyone from distress, oh Krishna, please free us from the distress of separation from you. Okay, this is a very instructive meditation that we can also do, that actually Krishna is in our hearts and Krishna knows our distress. Now the gopis' distress maybe is spiritual because they are separated from Krishna. Our distress may be material. We may be facing some worldly problems, some relationship issue, some financial worry, some health issue. But still, Krishna knows our distress because He is Akhila Dehinam Antaratma Drug. In all living beings, He is present as the Super Soul. Now, the gopis, if they know that Krishna knows their distress, then why do they have to pray to Krishna? Some people say, what is the need to pray to God? God knows your condition. God knows what you need. God knows what condition you are in. He will provide. Yes, that is one way of considering God's position. But in bhakti, we see prayer as not just the tool to get God to do something for us. We see prayer as a way of offering our emotion to Krishna. We see prayer as a means to connect with Krishna. We see a prayer as a means for invoking Krishna's presence in our heart, not just as a tool to get things done. So even when we are in a particular plight that Krishna knows, still we can verbalize and offer a prayer to Krishna about it. And in that way, our bond with Krishna will strengthen. So now as the gopis are thinking, if Krishna is in our hearts, then, did Krishna see that we had become proud? Is it because of our pride that Krishna left us and went away? If that is the case, then the next few verses address that. She says that, Virachitabhayam Rushnidhuryate Charanamiyusham Samsmrutirbhayad Karasaroruham Kantakamadam Shirasidhehinaha Shrikaragraham. So, before they go to that point, they reiterate Krishna's mission. Krishna has come for Vishwaguptaye, for the protection of the whole universe. And thus they pray over here, Veer Achitabhayam. O Krishna, you grant fearlessness. O Krishna, you are a great hero. Veer, you are a heroic person. If somebody is in great danger, and at that time a very powerful warrior, a hero comes over there, and they feel protected. So, Veer Achitabhayam. O Krishna, you always grant fearlessness. To whom? You grant fearlessness because Vrishnidhuryate. You are a great hero who is born in the Vrishni dynasty. That's another name for the dynasty in which Krishna was born, Satvata Vrishni. And to whom you give fearlessness? Somebody may say that somebody has, that when the hero is there, the hero can grant fearlessness. So, to whom does Krishna grant fearlessness? Charanamiyusham. Anyone who takes shelter of your lotus feet. Whoever takes shelter of your lotus feet, they come in your presence. And when they come in your presence, then you grant them fearlessness. And there can be many different dangers. Now, we may have fear of loss of health, loss of relationships, loss of wealth, whatever. But there is a, for those who have philosophical knowledge, they understand that far greater than all these fears is a fundamental fear. That is the fear of material existence itself. Samsmritir bhayat. Now, what is the fear of material existence? Actually, there are two kinds of fears. One is material existence may bring tribulation upon us on any at any moment. As in, anything can go wrong in this world. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. Vipatti, disaster can fall upon us at any moment. So the material existence itself is fearful because tribulation can befall us. But actually material existence is dangerous in another way. And that is, not just tribulation can befall us, but temptation can allure us. And if temptation allures us, then we do wrong things. And those wrong things bind us in this material existence. And when they bind us in material existence, then we get various distresses again and again. So for a devotee, actually temptation is more fearful than tribulation. Because when tribulation comes upon us, at that time, okay, it's come by our past karma, and the past karma is getting exhausted when we suffer. But when temptation comes upon us, and when we succumb to temptation, then it is not that past karma is getting exhausted, rather new karma is being created. So actually, temptation is more threatening for a devotee than tribulation. Tribulation exhausts past karma, but temptation creates new karma. And therefore temptation is more of a threat than a tribulation for a transcendentalist. And both these fears are there in this material world. Samsmritir bhayat. Therefore this world is very fearful, a very fearsome place. And Krishna can grant us protection from temptation. Krishna can grant us protection from tribulation. If we are absorbed in Krishna, we will not feel tempted by anything. If we are absorbed in Krishna, even if dangers come upon us, we will be able to tolerate them. So they are saying, Krishna, you give everyone protection from all fears if they surrender to your lotus feet. Therefore, why are you not giving us the protection? Please, Krishna, give us this protection. Karasaroruham Kantakamadam. So Karasaroruham, please take your beautiful lotus hand, which is so attractive. And what is its potency? कांत काम दम. अगेन वेल दे आर एक्नोलेजिंग कृष्णाज डिविनिटी दैट यू कैन फ्री पीपल, यू आर मुकुंद, यू आर द लॉर्ड हू फ्रीज एवरी वन फ्रॉम मेटल एग्जिस्टेंस, बट स्टिल दे आर ऑल्सो रेफरिंग टू हिम एज कांत, ओ लवर, ओ लवर. कांत काम दम, यू आर द फुलफिलर ऑफ आवर डिजायर्स. द वर्ड काम समटाइम्स कैन मीन लस्ट, sometimes it can just broadly mean desire. You are the fulfiller of our desires. And what is our desire now? Shirasidhehinaha Shri Karagraham. Please, O Krishna, bless us. Put your hand on our head. Shri Karagraham. And they are saying, your hand is supremely auspicious. In your hand resides the goddess of fortune. There is the mark of the goddess of fortune on your hands also. And if you bless us with your hand, then on our head, then we will be freed from all distress. And thus, you will fulfill both your mission as the Lord who frees the surrendered souls from distress, and also you are a hero, you are a kshatriya. Vrushni dhuryate. And a kshatriya is meant to protect those who are in distress. There are five classes of people who are to be protected: women, children, elderly, the brahmanas and the cows. And a kshatriya hero is meant to protect women. So the gopis are saying, we are women in distress and you are a great hero. So Krishna, please come and protect us. So the same mood is being offered. Krishna, you are the protector, so please come and protect us. Please, indirectly, if Krishna has to put his hand on their head, he has to appear before them. And thus, they are reiterating this prayer. Krishna, please come. And then, they address, Krishna may not be coming because Krishna thought we had become proud. He says, Krishna, even if we have become proud, what is the solution to that pride? It is when you appear before us, the pride will go away. And then he says, Vraja janartihan virayoshitam nija janasmaya dhvamsanasmita bhajasakhe bhavat kinkaraismano jalaruhananam charudarshaya. So they are praying over here, Vraja janartihan, you are the destroyer of the distress of the Vraja jana, of the residents of Vrindavan. And especially virayoshitam, you are the hero for all women. You are such an attractive, heroic person that if a woman is in distress, she will call out to you and you will protect us. Protect them. So we are Vrajvasis and we are women. So please protect us. And he says, and if you feel that we have been afflicted by pride, then please protect us from that pride also. And how will you protect us? Nija janasmaya dhvamsanasmita. Says, if your devotees become proud, your smile destroys their pride. This is very interesting. It can mean different things. It can mean that Krishna smiles and does whatever is required to destroy the pride of his devotees. And when the destruction of pride happens, that can be quite painful. But there is another meaning over here. So this first meaning can apply to, say, Indra. Indra became proud and Krishna smiled and performed the Govardhan Leela, by which Indra's pride was destroyed. But there is another way. That is, if a devotee becomes proud. Now, we all want pleasure. And if all these anarthas that are there, all these misgivings that are there in the heart, they all promise us pleasure. Lust promises us some pleasure. Greed promises us some pleasure. Pride promises us some pleasure. Pride promises pleasure at the level of the ego. So everybody admires me. Everybody looks up to me. Everybody speaks praise of me. And that titillates our pride and we feel happy. But when a devotee comes before Krishna and sees the smile of Krishna, a devotee feels, what is the pleasure of pride? The pleasure of drinking the nectarian beauty of Krishna's form, and especially of Krishna's smile, that is so great, that what is this pleasure of pride? A pleasure of pride is insignificant. So, pleasure of pride is just like a few drops of water, whereas Krishna's beauty, Krishna's beautiful smile, that is like an ocean. Madhuram, madhuram, madhurasya vibho. Madhuram, 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 madhuram. Madhugandhi smritam etadau etadaho. So, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a beautiful prayer. They say that Krishna's whole form is very beautiful. Madhuram, madhuram, madhurasya vibho. That vapuho, his form is beautiful. And then, in his entire form, his face is very beautiful. And on his face, his smile is extremely beautiful. And how beautiful it is? He just says, madhuram, 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 madhuram. There are no words to describe, so just describes the madhura, sweet, again and again and again. So for us, how do we become free from pride? Just absorb ourselves in devotion. If we can absorb ourselves in devotion, get the taste of devotion, then we feel, this is so relishable. Why do I need anything else in life? When we sing about Krishna, when we speak about Krishna, sometimes we may want to see, okay, how many people are appreciating my singing? How many people are appreciating my speaking? And when people praise us for our singing or speaking, we may get some pleasure by that. But sometimes nobody may praise us, and then we may get no pleasure. But instead of expecting for that pleasure of praise while singing about Krishna and while speaking about Krishna, we just try to absorb ourselves in Krishna. We will realize that this absorption is so much more glorious. This absorption is so much more enduring, so much more fulfilling, that the pleasure that might come by my being praised, that is so fleeting, that is so insubstantial. I don't need it. So the gopis are saying, Krishna, if at all you think we have become proud, the way to destroy our pride is, please come before us and smile in front of us. Nija jana smaya dvam sana smita. Your smile will destroy our pride. And how will this smile destroy the pride? They give us a description of, that is an indication of the beauty of his smile. Bhaja sakhe bhavat kinkarai smano. They say, in this, we are worshipping you. We are your kinkari. We are your servants. So the same words, they are actually using the word kinkara and sakha. Sakha is friend, kinkara is servant. So the gopis are having both this flavor. They are appreciating Krishna's greatness while also contemplating, they are appreciating Krishna's sweetness while also contemplating his greatness. And they say, how is your smile like? Jalaravananam. It is like a freshly formed, beautiful lotus that has grown in a pond. So your face is like a beautiful pond, and the smile on that face is like a blossoming flower. And blossoming lotus flower. Charu darshaya. Oh Krishna, please reveal this form to us. Please, this is so sweet. Please reveal this form to us. So in this way, the gopis are fervently praying to Krishna, please come before us. Please come before us. So, such is the extraordinary intensity and sweetness of the gopis' prayers, which we can see in the same call coming through six different forms of reasoning. So, we'll summarize that this Gopi Gita is the song where Krishna, gopis being separated from Krishna, one by one are offering prayers. And the first prayer is, Krishna, you have made this land fortunate by having the goddess of fortune reside here permanently. And yet, how can you make us unfortunate by making us separated from you when we have devoted our life to you? Oh Krishna, so the second verse is different reasoning. Krishna, you are the god of love, and we are worshipping you out of love. You have attractive form, attractive face, attractive heart. You are so loving. And when we have approached you out of love, how can you not bless us? Instead of blessing us, how are you condemning us to death by the fierce pain of separation from you? Oh Krishna, because you are the God of love, please come appear before us. First is, because you are the God, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, make us fortunate appear before us. Second verse is that, because you are the God of love, please appear before us. A third verse states that, Krishna, you have protected us from so many demons in the past. You have protected us from Indra's thunderbolt rain and wind. You have protected us from Kaliya's poisoned waters. You have protected us from the all-devouring mouth of Agha. And in future, you will protect us from demons like the bull demon, Vyomasur and Arishtasur. So, in the past, you are the protector. You have protected our lives in the past. You will protect in the future. How can you not protect us in the present? Please protect us now, Krishna, from the demon of separation from you, which is devouring us right now. Then they offer a fourth reason. Krishna, you are not the son of Yashoda. You are the indwelling super soul who has descended the prayer of Brahma to protect the whole universe. We are also a part of the universe. How are you not protecting us from distress, O Krishna? You are present in our hearts. You know our distress. And how can you not protect us from distress? You have descended to this world to free it from distress. Therefore, O Lord, please free us from distress. Then in the fifth prayer, they say that, Krishna, you are a great hero. You are the hero of the Vrishni dynasty who is meant to protect women. We are females in distress, please protect us. And you are the Supreme Lord who protects those who take shelter of His lotus feet. You protect them from all fears of mortal existence. We are in great fear. We are in distress being separated from you. Please, O Lord, act according to your nature and protect us by appearing before us. And the last prayer we discussed is, Krishna, you free the Rajvasis from distress, you free women from distress. We are females, we are Rajvasis. Please protect us. If we are proud, then protect us from the pride. How? By revealing your beautiful smile before us. And then seeing the beauty of that smile, we'll feel the beauty, that the pleasure coming from pride is so insignificant that pride will get destroyed. And in this way, the gopis, through profound philosophical knowledge of Krishna's greatness, which is like the stars in the daytime, they are using that knowledge to intensify the flavor of their conjugal relationship with Krishna and to intensify their call to Krishna. Oh Krishna, please come back. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Let's move on.
You were mentioning one point that there's two kinds of fear of material existence, and that one is, you know, afraid of the distress caused by material existence, and the other is afraid of the temptations.
Mm.
And you said that the devotee is not so much afraid of the distress, but more afraid of the temptations.
Yeah.
Maybe you could elaborate on that a little bit, because I was under the understanding, maybe it's not correct, that, you know, there's also something, one should not be afraid of the temptations, because that indicates a lack of resolve, or it indicates a lack of devotion. That why would one be afraid of temptations if they've already completely sold out, they're already sold out to Krishna?
Okay. So does fear of temptations indicate a lack of devotion? Because if you'll be sold out to Krishna, then we would not have a fear of temptation. Yes, that is true. Prahlad Maharaj talks about this, how I have no fear of material existence नैवो द्विजे प्रदृत्य वैतरण्यस् त्वद्वीर्यगायन् महामृतमग्नचित्तः. Because my consciousness is completely absorbed in singing your glories, I have no fear of material existence. That is true for exalted devotees. But for us, at least for me, I can say, I am not absorbed in Krishna. Sometimes there is that absorption, but quite often there is distraction. And we do need, because we don't have that absorption in Krishna, we do need to have some fear. Prabhupada said that one of the problems with his disciples was that they are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. So this, there is a healthy fear and there is an unhealthy fear. A healthy fear makes us cautious. And unhealthy fear makes us paralyzed. So if you are driving a car, if we have an unhealthy fear, oh, what if the brake fails? What if somebody drunk drives into me? What if the wheel goes, what if the car goes off the road? Then we will not drive the car. So that fear which prevents us from doing the right action, the necessary action, that is unhealthy. And that we don't want. A devotee should not be so afraid of temptations. Oh, what will happen if this temptation comes, that temptation comes, that comes, I'll fall down. What is the use of practicing bhakti? Anyway, I'm going to fall to temptation, so let me not practice bhakti only. So that is unhealthy. Unhealthy temptation or unhealthy fear prevents us from doing the right necessary things. Whereas healthy fear brings caution. So when we are driving a car, we know that we have to be cautious. We have to make sure that our eyes are ahead of us, that nobody else is coming from any different side, that we are alert enough to brake or to have the right speed. So that is necessary fear. If somebody doesn't have that healthy fear, somebody is drunk heavily and they think, no problem, I can drive, I can still drive. They'll not be able to drive. They will hurt themselves, they will hurt others. So healthy fear is healthy fear protects. Unhealthy fear paralyzes. So for us as devotees, we should have the healthy fear of temptation. And we shouldn't rush into tempting situations. If during the course of our service temptation comes, a devotee will not give up the service because of the temptation. But a devotee will not oneself go into temptation. When Haridas Thakur was chanting the holy names, at that time the prostitute came to tempt him. Haridas Thakur didn't run away from there. He kept chanting the holy names. And then because he was so absorbed in the chanting of the holy names, even the prostitute got transformed. She also became a devotee. But Haridas Thakur did not go to a brothel to preach to the prostitutes and convert them. No. A devotee is focused on the service, and in the course of service, if temptation comes, a devotee sticks to the service and tolerates the temptation. But a devotee doesn't deliberately think that I am beyond temptation because I am absorbed in Krishna, and unnecessarily a devotee doesn't go into tempting situations. When the devotees used to do kirtans, they would get invitations at different places in the early days of the movement. So sometimes the devotees got invitation to do kirtans in something like a nightclub. Now in that nightclub, it was basically for them, they just want some music. They don't know that the Hare Krishna is sacred music. So when Prabhupada came to know about this, Prabhupada said, you have to think when you're going there, is there any possibility of making people into devotees? He said, this is not a place where people are likely to become devotees. No, don't go there. He said, you can stand and chant on kirtans in the streets. You can do in people's homes when they invite you. So we may say that, oh, we can do kirtan anywhere and I am so transcendental. We may not be so transcendental and we may get into big trouble. And even if we are transcendental, our purpose is not just to demonstrate our transcendence to the world. Our purpose is to get people to be connected with Krishna. So therefore, a devotee has a healthy fear of temptation that makes the devotee cautiously and conscientiously absorbed in the service to Krishna. And a devotee doesn't have that unhealthy fear of temptation which will make the devotee not give up the service itself because of the fear of temptation. Okay? So, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki Jai Gaur Premanande.
Gracious and charming.
Goodness, this chair has a